So, you've immersed yourself in our introduction to bonds in Chapter 9, right? And you all understand the different types of bonds and characteristics, and oh boy, wasn't that exciting. Well, Chapter 10, we're going to discuss some, I hope you'll enjoy them, valuation techniques, bond pricing, bond yields, the most certainly, for most in bond investors, the most important characteristic is what you're getting in interest. And then we'll take a look at some valuation techniques, which should look very familiar. But that's in the second presentation. In the first presentation, we're going to discuss bond yields. So slide number 2. Bond yield is one of the most important factors in bond valuation. Why? Because investors buy bonds for income. What income is the bond paying? Over the long sweep of time, income is what you receive from investing in bonds. Although there are sometimes opportunities for capital gains and sometimes there are risks of capital losses, but when the bond is redeemed, you are only going to get back its par value. And given that most all bonds repay their principal without incident, the valuations calculated using bond yields tend to be very predictable. Unlike stock, right, because you don't know what you're going to get from a stock. But you know, unless, you know, this, the bond's in distress, the company goes under, there's problems, you know what you're going to get from your bonds. So, the unpredictable factor in bond valuation on slide number 3 is the future direction of interest rates. Yes, dear students, there are people who are paid tremendous sums of money to incorrectly predict where interest rates are going. Can you imagine how much money they could make if they knew? Yeah. However, for the many people who hold on to their bonds until maturity, until they get their principal back, the direction of interest rates is unimportant to them. They don't care. That's not why they bought the bonds. They bought the bonds for the income. They are mostly interested in the income and are not generally affected by the direction of interest rates, since they have no intention of ever selling their bonds before they mature. You are only concerned about changing interest rates if you intend or are forced to sell your bonds before they mature. So if you're playing the speculation game with bonds, you're hoping that interest rates go down so you can sell your bond for a capital gain. But if interest rates go up, it's going to be the other way around, and you may have to sell at a capital loss. But as we said, if you intend to hold on to your bond till maturity, it's unimportant to you. Slide number 4. There are several types of bond yields, and you have to know these, folks, and these are the calculations that you're going to do, some of the calculations you're going to do for Chapter 10. So you might want to get the formula sheet out, you might want to have the worksheet out, and we're not going to do it in the presentation. There's a commentary and an answer key, but in the face-to-face class, obviously, we would work these out as we go through them. The nominal yield, also called the coupon yield, the nominal rate, that's the stated rate of the bond. Well, we talked about coupons, right? Coupon, clipping your coupon. It means you're collecting your interest. They don't have coupons anymore. That's the stated rate of the bond. The named rate, the nominal rate. The next one is the current yield, or the current rate. And this is the interest rate of the bond given its current price. Remember, prices go up and down on bonds. Not as much as they go up and down on stocks, but they still go up and down. So the current yield takes into a consideration that you may have spent more or less than the par value, $1,000, for that bond. The yield to maturity is the rate if you hold the bond until it matures. So you bought it for whatever price you got it for today, and then when it matures, you're going to get $1,000 back. Well, what would happen to my yield if I held on to it and got the $1,000 back? And then the yield to call is the same idea, except we decide, we want to assume We see that there's a call provision that kicks in 5 years or 10 years, and interest rates are much lower than they were when the bond was issued. We just assume that the bond issuer, the company or the municipality, treasury bonds have never been callable. We just assume that that entity is going to want to refinance. That is for all bonds: the current yield, yield to maturity, and yield to call. For municipal bonds, which have that wonderful tax qualified status, tax exempt status, we have to calculate the taxable equivalent yield, taking into account that we're not paying any federal income taxes. And if it's a bond in our municipality, in our case, state of California, then we take a look at the double tax-free taxable, I'm sorry, double tax exempt, or tax-free, IRS doesn't like that term, tax-free, taxable equivalent yield. This is the rate taking into account no federal and no state income tax. So let's start doing some calculations. Well, first, slide number five, we don't have to do any calculations. If we say a bond has a coupon yield or a nominal yield or a nominal rate or a coupon rate of 8%, what's the coupon yield? 8%. It's one of those tricky questions. What's your name, George? George. Yeah. That's the named interest rate of the bond. The bond's annual interest income divided by its par value. So what the bond is paying in absolute dollars. So if the par value is 1,000, and remember, folks, for our class, it will always be 1,000. For the Series 7, it is always 1,000. Now, some bonds have different par values, but virtually all of them use 1,000. So we'll always use 1,000 for par. And it was an 8% bond, $80 per year. That's 1,000 times 8%, or, you know, $80, or $80 divided by 1,000 is 8%. Now, do you get paid $80 a year? Well, yes, but actually what they do is they pay you $40 twice a year. They pay you twice a year. And we said that before, right? Bonds pay what's called semi-annually, every 6 months. So remember that. Not that it's that important, but it's just something you should know. If you don't know it, you're going to look a little silly, and they're going to say, where did you learn about your bonds? And you're going to say, Business 123, and they're going to say, didn't they teach you? And you're going to say, oh yeah, but I forgot. Anyway, slide number six. But the nominal yield, folks, is not as important as these three: the current yield, the yield to maturity, and the yield to call. And we're going to compute these three on the next few slides. The current yield is the amount of current income a bond provides relative to its current market price. The yield to maturity is the fully compounded rate of return earned by an investor over the life of the bond. It includes the current income, so it's basically the current yield, but it takes into consideration that the bond is either going to appreciate if you bought it at a discount, or it's going to depreciate if you bought it at a premium. It's also called the promise yield. I've never heard it called that. And then the yield to call is the same idea, but we're assuming that in 5 or 10 years it's going to be called away. Now, if the bond is selling at par, well, then the nominal yield is equal to the current yield, is equal to the yield to maturity, so we don't have to do the calculation. But let's assume, on slide number 7, that we're looking at an 8% bond that's selling at $800. Right, the bond is selling at a discount. And how do we calculate the current yield? We take the annual interest that we receive from the bond, not 8 cents, $80, 8% of 1,000. Don't make that mistake. Don't put 8 cents. No, it's not paying you 8 cents a year. It's paying you 8% of $1,000. That's $80. And then you divide it by what you had to pay for the bond, or what we would have to pay the bond if we were thinking about buying it. And if this bond were selling at $800, a significant discount, that would be $80 divided by 800, or 10%. So the nominal yield is 8%, but because the bond is selling at a discount, the current yield is actually 10%. Do you understand? Make sure you do the calculation, because this is what the calculations for Chapter 10 are like. Slide number 8. Let's look at the same bond. 8% paying how much of interest a year? $80, not 8 cents. And we take this bond and we see it's selling for a premium. Lots of bonds these days are selling for a premium because interest rates are very low, so bond prices have gone up. $80 divided by $1,200, the current market price of the bond is 0.666666666, or 6.67%. When you're dealing with bonds, folks, you should at least use two digits to the right of the decimal point, preferably three. But two is usually good enough. Most people are happy with that. So again, the nominal yield, the current yield, I'm sorry, the coupon yield, the coupon rate, the nominal rate, that's 8%. But because the bond is selling at a premium, we had to spend $1,200 to get that $80. So our current yield is only 6.67%. Make sense? If it doesn't, stop right now and make sure you do these calculations and understand what's going on, because it's very important. Now, the next step is how to calculate the yield to maturity. The yield to maturity takes into account the price appreciation of the bond if the bond is purchased at a discount, or the price depreciation of the bond if the bond is purchased at a premium. So we're on slide number 9. And there are two primary methods of calculation, and there are others. The bond pricing formula discussed later, combined with an internal rate of return approximation. This is more accurate, but it's difficult to do manually. Remember the spreadsheets from Chapter 6 when we did internal rate of return and bond? Yeah, you're going to see that it's very similar, but we don't have a spreadsheet in our heads. Most everybody has one in their hands. But we're going to do the yield to maturity formula on the next slide, which is an approximation that looks scary, but actually once you do it a couple times, it's actually pretty easy. It's just to plug in the numbers. And I'm not sure if they're still using this formula on the Series 7, but that was the formula you had to know when you took the Series 7, when I took it in about 200,000 years ago. Not quite a million years ago. Anyway, slide number 10. Folks, relax. It's actually the same formula as the current yield formula. What? No, it's not. Well, it's similar. Because remember the annual interest? Well, here it is. In the left-hand side, the dollar amount of the annual interest. And we divided that by the price of the bond. Remember that for the current yield? We divided by the price of the bond? Well, no. What we do now is we divide it by the average. The average of the par value, what we're going to get back when the bond matures, and what we have to pay for it, the market value. What happens when you add two numbers and divide by two? You get the average. So can you do that, folks? All right, I mean, it's not that hard. And we're going to do it in just a minute. And then that gives you the dollar amount of interest divided by an average of what we had to pay for it and what we're going to get back when the bond matures. And then what's this little bad boy up here, huh? What's this little guy up here? Well, what this does, folks, is this takes into account that every year we get closer and closer and closer to the maturity date. And so we either have to add a little bit every year if we bought it at a discount, or we have to subtract a little bit every year if we bought it at a premium. Now, if you don't understand that, stop, rewind, and go back, because that's very important. Essentially, folks, if we buy it at a discount, every year the bond is getting closer and closer to its maturity date, and it's getting closer and closer to $800. I mean, $1,000. I'm sorry. And if we buy it at a premium, which is the next slide, this one's $800. The next slide, if we buy it at a premium, every year we're going down a little bit towards $1,000. So let's do it. Let's do it together. What's the annual interest on an 8% bond? Everyone should say $80. I can't hear you. $80. Say it. Not 8 cents. Say $80. $80. Okay. And we divide that by the average. What is the average of the par value and the market value? 1,000 plus 800 divided by 2. Do the calculation and you should get $900, right? Okay, good. Now, here we go with this guy up here. Take the par value. Remember, when the bond matures, we're going to get $1,000. but we only had to pay $800 for that bond. So we take $1,000 minus $800, and that's $200. If the bond matures in 10 years, because this bond we find that maturing in 10 years, we divide that $200 by 10, and it turns out every year we're going to get a $20 increase in the price. Now, it doesn't work that way in reality, because bond prices and interest rates are going up and down all the time. We may get that $20, we may not. But this a formula is just assuming that every year it's going up by 20 bucks. So if you add the $20 to the $80, that's 100. You divide it by 900, the average of the market value and the par value, and we get 11.1%, which is higher than the current yield. Remember, the current yield for this 8% bond selling at $800 was 10%. And why is it higher? Because every year we're getting a little bit more as the bond appreciates in value. Make sense? It should. If it doesn't, stop and think about it. Now, let's do the exact same thing, but only this time, it's a 10-year, 8% bond, but it's selling at a premium. Just do the same calculation. Take the $80 and divide it by the average, but in this case, it's $1,000 plus the market value of the $1,200 divided by 2, and what's the average? $1,100, right? You can do that. Do it. Make sure you get it right. And then what we do up here is we take the $1,000 we're going to get when the bond matures, but we subtract $1,200 because we had to pay $1,200 for that bond. And that's a negative number. Can you deal with negative numbers, folks, that you learned in 5th and 6th and 7th grade? I hope so. And so that's a negative 200. What happens when you divide negative 200 by 100? You get a negative 20. So every year we assume that the bond is going down 20 bucks in value. Now, the market's going to determine what it actually does, but it's an approximation, right? And it's eventually going to make its way to 1,000. So you take that negative 200 divided by 10, and you get negative 20. You add a negative number to 80. Can you add a negative? That's right, so it's subtracting. And you get 60 divided by the $1,100, which is the average of those two. And you get 5.45%. So the current yield was 6.67, but because every year we're losing a bit of the value of the bond, we're only actually getting 5.45% yield to maturity. Okay? Now, of course, on the website are worksheets and then the assignment and then the program, which are going to be basically the exact same calculations. All right, slide number 12. Wait a minute. The current yield of our 8% discount bond selling at $800 was 10%, but the yield to maturity was 11.1. And the current yield of our 8% premium bond selling for $1,200 was 6.67, but the yield to maturity was 5.45. How is that possible? What is going on? Well, I already explained it to you, didn't I? Yes, it's actually very straightforward. The discount bond was purchased at $800, but will be redeemed at $1,000. The premium bond was purchased at $1,200, but again, what are you going to get when the bond matures? $1,000. It will be redeemed at $1,000. The yield to maturity takes into account the bond appreciation from the discount price up to the par value, right? And the bond depreciation from the premium price down to the par value. Yeah, that's what's going on. So make sure you can do those a couple of times and then do them again. Slide number 13. Now, the yield to call is essentially the exact same thing as the yield to maturity. However, it takes into account the possibility, and in some case, probability, of the bond being called away from the bond holder. You would only use these on premium price bonds, because why would a bond issuer call in a discount bond? That would mean they are refinancing at a higher rate. Who would do that? Right. If you have an interest rate on your house and the interest rates go up, you're going to, on your mortgage, interest rates go up. Are you going to go out and refinance? No, not likely. Unless you're in serious trouble, maybe you need more money out, but no, normally you wouldn't do that. Again, there are two methods of calculation, the bond pricing formula, which we'll take a look at in the next presentation, and then the same formula as yield to maturity, but you just replace the par value with the call value. Because remember, some bonds have a call premium, which means they have to pay you more than $1,000 to redeem them. You can think of it like a prepayment penalty. And the years to maturity you replace with the years to call. So maybe it's a 20-year bond, but in 5 or 10 years it becomes callable, so you replace the years to maturity with the years to call. So there's the formula, and it looks exactly like the yield to maturity formula, except instead of par value, what do we have up here? Call value. And instead of number of years to maturity, number of years to call. So let's go back and assume that $1,200 premium bond that's due in 10 years is actually callable in 5 years. So we assume, because it's selling at such a high premium, interest rates have dropped precipitously, and the bond issuer, the company, the municipality, the treasury, never, it doesn't mean they won't in the future, but they've never issued callable bonds. We assume that in 5 years they're going to call them away from us. Now, there's a premium involved, a call price of $1,085. To buy back these bonds from us, they can't just pay us $1,000, they have to pay us $1,085. So when we plug in the numbers, we use the $1,085 instead of the par value, we use the call value. And we use, instead of the number of years to maturity, we use the number of years to call, 5. And if you run all those numbers, you get 4.99% approximately, right? Make sure you do it. Make sure you get the same answer that we got in the presentation. I've checked. Okay, slide number 15. The yield to call was less than the yield to maturity. Yes, folks, this is typical. This is because if the bonds are called away from us, we would have less time to take advantage of the outsized interest income payments. You understand? If they call it away from us, we can't enjoy that high yield as long as we wanted to. So that this is typical. And of course it depends on the call premium and what happens to interest rates in the meantime. Slide number 16. Now we're going to turn our attention to muni bonds. These formulas are only used for municipal bonds. The taxable equivalent yield and the double tax equivalent yield, double tax-free, if you will, equivalent yield. So, since muni bonds are free from federal taxes, in order to effectively compare municipal bonds to other bonds, we compute the taxable equivalent yield. And if it's a bond anywhere outside the state of California, all the other states, all the territories, Guam, Puerto Rico, then it's free from federal income taxes. If it's a California bond, not only is it free from federal income taxes, it's also free from California income taxes. So for those of us who live in California, the double tax-free taxable equivalent yield can be very tempting, especially for high net worth, high income investors. And in fact, the higher your income, the more these things are worth to you, which is why muni bonds are very popular with the 1%ers, is the phrase that people use these days, with the very wealthy. Slide number 17. Here's the formula. And it's not that spectacularly difficult. We take the yield, and we divide it by 1 minus the marginal tax rate. Now, that should look familiar to some people who've taken the Business 121 class, and it is, because we did that and, you know, we talked about taxes. And let's say the investor's in the 25% tax bracket. That means for every dollar, the feds are taking 25 cents. Well, now, very interesting. If you're offered a 6% municipal bond, say from Louisiana or New York or Alabama or wherever, or Arizona, you are in the 25% tax bracket. So what you do is you take the 6% yield, 0.06, and divide it by 1 minus 25%. So the 1 is really 100%, right? But you don't do that on your calculator. You type 1.0 minus 0.25. So 0.06 divided by 1 minus 0.25, that's 0.06 divided by 0.75. Make sure you did it right. And the taxable equivalent yield is equal to 0.08 or 8%. Now, what does that mean? What this means, folks, is you have to go out there, if you're an investor in the 25% tax bracket, and find a comparable corporate bond, same, you know, same credit quality, that is paying you 8%. Huh? Well, it doesn't make any sense. I'm going to get $80 from the corporate bond. I'm only going to get $60 from the municipal bond. Why wouldn't I want the municipal bond? Very easy. The feds are going to take 25%. And 25% of $80 is $20. Exactly. So it doesn't matter which bond you have. You, as the investor, still wind up with $60 in your pocket at the end of the day. So you understand why we call it the taxable equivalent yield? Sure you do. Run it a couple of times. Run it with different taxable brackets, like 10% or 15% or 35%. And you'll see that the higher the taxable bracket, the more the bond is worth. So you understand why they're so popular with high net worth, high income investors? Because just because they get that taxable break, it makes the bond worth more to them. So they bid up the price to the point where it doesn't make sense for us working grunts who are in the 15 to 25% bracket. It just doesn't make sense for us to buy it. We can often do better just going out and paying the taxes. But when you start to get in the higher tax brackets, oh yeah, I'll pick up that bond. Plus, wait till you see what they want. They want at least $25,000 minimum. Slide number 18. Now, the taxable equivalent yield for both federal and state, often called double tax exempt or double tax free. You know, be careful. The IRS doesn't like the word free, so don't use it in front of an IRS agent. Anyway, the formula on the previous slide only takes into account federal income taxes. If the muni bond is free of both federal and state income taxes, double tax exempt, double tax free, then the taxable equivalent yield will be higher because you're not only paying, you're not only not paying, excuse me for the double negative, federal income taxes, you are also not paying state income taxes. And the formula on the next slide assumes you itemize deductions on your federal income taxes and deduct the state income taxes. Now, this is an assumption, but it's very typical for municipal bond investors. Why? Because they have a huge house, and they're taking advantage of the mortgage tax break, and so they're doing Schedule A, so they're itemizing their deductions, and what they can do is they can deduct the state income taxes, right? But now, since they're not paying the state income taxes, it essentially and negates that tax break. So the formula we're going to use just assumes that people are taking the Schedule A, the itemized deductions. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. Just use the formula I ask you to use. If you don't itemize deductions, which is very atypical of very high net worth individuals, high income people, then they would actually get a better deal. It'd be a little bit higher. So here's the formula, and I know it looks scary, but it's the same formula, folks, except what we did is we added the state rate. But because most of the people in these higher brackets take advantage of the state income tax deduction, we then have to reduce that by 1 minus the state, the Fed rate. I'm sorry, did I say it right? 1 minus the Fed rate. So I should have an extra pair of parentheses in here. Don't add these two, the Fed rate and the state rate, and then multiply. You know what, I really should make a note for myself to change that. Put an extra pair of parentheses in there, Piano. Okay, so let's take a look at this formula. It's the same bond, 6% yield, We're in the 25% federal bracket, 8% state bracket, and it's from Southwestern Community College, or the city of Chula Vista, or the state of California. And it doesn't give me anywhere in the state. Eureka! So let's do the calculation. The 6%, the 0.06, stays on top, and then we go into the very bottom, and we go into the inner reaches of the parentheses. Remember, do what's in the parentheses first. 1 minus 0.25 is 0.75. You multiply that times 0.08, and you get around 5.6% or 0.05. Forget. You got the calculator. You do it. And then you add that to the 25%, the 0.25. Take that whole quantity and subtract that from 1. Take 1 minus that. Then do the calculations. And we see that double tax-free municipal bond is actually paying us 8.7% equivalent to a taxable bond. So if we're in the, assuming we're in California, we're in the 25% Fed bracket, we're in the 8% state bracket, and we get a 6% bond, we would have to go out and find a corporate bond paying at least 8.7% to be equivalent to what we're getting from the California bond. Make sense? If not, just do the calculations a few times and then come back to it, because the calculations are actually easier, as is often the case in this class, than the concepts. But once you've actually paid taxes on bonds, then you'll really understand it. Okay, now, on the worksheet, on the website, are worksheets that have these calculations. And, of course, the assignment is very similar to the calculations, and what's going to be on the exam is very similar to what's on the assignment and what's on the worksheets. So make sure you can do these. And if you have any questions, do not hesitate to contact me. And this is actually a whole lot easier than the dividend discount models, isn't it? Yeah, bonds are boring. All right, when we come back, We're going to look when we come back at yield spreads and bond valuation techniques. Okay, see ya next time.